The Bible has quite a bit to say about teachers, and it tells them to be careful and handle the Word of God correctly, you know. And we certainly always want to do that. And we also desire always to do our best. No half-heartedness and no insincerity, but we're just desperately honest about what we say. And because we feel that we're learners too. And so we're learning together. We don't present ourselves as the end of all knowledge, but that we are in this together learning. And if we can stir up our minds together, there's no telling what will come to us from the studying of these lessons. Today's lesson is the Holy Spirit makes intercession. This is just showing you how that the Holy Spirit is capable and able to do something for you that maybe that you never realized. That He, our Lord Jesus, is our attorney. He stands before God for us. But beside Him, the Bible teaches us, as we're going to show, that the Holy Spirit is an intercessor in your behalf, not for Himself, but in your behalf, crying out to the Father for you to bless you. It's almost beyond human comprehension that we have such a dignitary, the third person of the Trinity, that would actually take your problem and intercede to God for your problem and remind God of a need that you have in your life. I think it's a tremendous truth. In this lesson, we have a potent reality regarding the Holy Spirit, in that He comes right down inside of us, into our problems, into our needs, and He begins to do things personally for us. Intercession in prayer, or is prayer, and it is entreaty to God upon the behalf of another. That's what intercession is all about. There have been beautiful saints that were great people of intercession, who caused things to come about that could not have come about otherwise. And the Lord Jesus is our attorney that stands before the Lord pleading our cause. That is by His blood. He says, Father, forgive them of anything they ask because of the blood that I have shed, please. And so because of His shed blood, He stands there to be an advocate for us. But it says that the Holy Spirit is an intercessor for us. And I'm excited to get into it. And I'm sure that you are too. The purpose is for fulfill need and effecting a reconciliation between us and God. If we have sinned, the Holy Spirit comes and intercedes for us toward God. In Romans 8 and 26 is our basic scripture that we will deal with. It says, likewise, the Spirit, notice with a capital S, still speaking of the person of the Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit, He helpeth our infirmities. The word infirmity there, it doesn't necessarily have to be sickness. It can be a weakness of some kind. It can be a problem of some kind. It can be a business that needs help. Anything that's on the sick list, that's what we're talking about. That the Holy Spirit, He helpeth our needs or our infirmities. Now, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Now, I think all of us admit to that. Every person does it. We wish we knew how to pray better. Wish we knew how to get our prayers answered. We knew just what button to touch and it would happen, we're all in that category, that we know not what how we should pray just like we ought to pray. And so all of us are moving into that, seeking that, wanting to know that. But says, but the Spirit Himself, and in your translation, who has a translation on Romans 8:26 that says Himself in it? Would you raise your hand? In Romans 8:26, where it says, but the Spirit Himself. Would you look out to the side and see if it's in the margin there, Himself. Now, what translation is it, if you have one? Which one?
The New International.
Yeah. I know that many of them do. And it makes a better translation there. The Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us. And He does it with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, there is a mystery of the Godhead, in that when you have a tremendous need, that He is an intercessor before God, And it says with groanings that cannot be uttered. That is beyond us, you know. That is beyond us how he can do that. And let's go to the next verse before I get into this. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He maketh intercession. Now, how does he do that? I'll give you one way. A number of years ago, I was traveling in inland China. We've traveled in the hinterlands of many nations of the world, right into the back parts of those countries, and to see them and to bless the people and to teach them the word of the Lord. And we were way in the mountains of Asia, high in the mountains of Asia. Now we knew that you shouldn't drink water, because they would take water out of a horse trough or something and drink the stuff. And they'd just pick up water that's polluted in a little pond and drink it. Of course, many of them die, but they build up resistance to it that you don't have in you. And if you drink it, you are going to die. And so we were told time and again, never drink just plain water. That if you're going to drink anything, get it on the fire and give it at least 10 minutes. Kill all the big ones and little ones. Kill the little monsters. And it says, if you don't, you're going to bleed to death with oriental dysentery. He says, now remember that. And many missionaries have died of dysentery. But we knew this all the way along, and I couldn't tell you how it happened. I could tell you some situations that we ate under, you know, that would make you understand how you didn't have to drink water to get this way. But maybe I better not go into those. Yeah, we ate the unknowables. And you thank God that you didn't know, because you couldn't have done it if you did know. But I shouldn't go. Anyway, I fell desperately ill of oriental dysentery. I would bleed from the bowels about every 10 to 15 minutes. Black, horrible looking blood. And I had a raging fever. Now, we were traveling by muleback every day from sunrise to sunset. And then we would preach to the people in the streets of that place. If we got to a mission station, then we'd stay 3 or 4 or 5 days preaching at the mission station. We were between mission stations. And I suddenly began to bleed at the bowels. Now, if you're a traveler, and especially if you're traveling with people that are not your kind of people. I think I was the only American with this group. And there was an Englishman, or two or three, with the group. A number of Chinese and a Tibetan or two. But Americans, I wouldn't want to say people don't like them. They're a little jealous of them or something. American carries himself a little differently. Anyway, they want you to keep your mouth shut and don't brag about how big your strawberries grow. Is what they want you to do. And so, I didn't want to tell anybody I was sick. And I usually would put my mule out in front. I like the front. And I'd gallop off and have the others to follow. But I was so sick I couldn't do that. I had to take the tail in. And it started one night, and I was up all night and down. It went through the next day. I couldn't eat. A burning fever, hurting all over, and bleeding at the bowels. Now, there wasn't a city in 500 miles. There was no hope of a doctor or anything like that. We were in the wilds. No hope for it. And the next morning, which made the second morning, we got up and I couldn't eat. And they said, well, are you fasting? I said, no, I don't feel just well. And the mule started out, 17 mules in our caravan. And I was the last one. Well, they walked right off away from me. In 10 minutes, I couldn't see them. Now, what you got to know is they're going through those mountains. You might come to a place in the road where there'd be 5 different paths going to 5 different towns. And I was the last one, and suddenly I went blind. I couldn't see. I couldn't tell the mule which way to go or anything. I couldn't even see his ears. And I just fell off. And the last thing I could remember, I took the long rope that I had from the bridle, and I just wrapped it around a tree. We used to tidy him up if we wanted to be somewhere. And so just laid it around a tree, and I went unconscious. Now, we hit the road at 5 in the morning, and we'll say by 7:30, 8, I was out. And You say, what happened to the men that were with you? Well, I don't know. They thought I'd fell behind, but they didn't come back to look for me. Nobody came back to look for me. And I laid there unconscious from about 8:30 until about 11:30. And I woke up healed, completely healed. And I thought at first I was in heaven. I said, I must be in heaven. No blood was passing out of my body. The fever was gone. But my mule made me know I was still up in Tibet. There the crazy thing stood tied to that bush. And so I went and unleashed him and got me a little stick about this long. And I hit him on his backside. And he got up, you know, he usually went 3 miles an hour. He got up to 5. Now that's the limit, you know. And especially he was hungry. And he knew we were in trouble. He threw his head in the air and would make the awfulest sound, bellowing, that you could ever hear. Now, we came to roads where you had to turn, and I didn't know which way to go. And I said, God, tell that mule which way to go. Now, the mule didn't know normally, because he was a mule for hire that went anywhere the man on the back pulled him. But I didn't know where to pull. From 11:30 until the sun was sinking at 5 to 5:30, I came upon a town. I didn't know whether it was the right town or not. But when I got to they closed the gates at night. They were getting ready to close the gates. And they saw me. And I guess the others had said, one of us are lost. If he comes, let us know. And he said, yes. And he directed me over to the place where they kept mules. In those days, the only place a visitor could stay was in the horse inn, because there were no cars. The path was about that wide. And there were no cars or anything. And so they had a place where they kept horses. I mean, they could keep 200 or 300. I'm talking about something big. And they kept the food for the horses up in the loft. We built our own fire, cooked our own food right out in the courtyard. But I got there, they showed me how to go, and I went over there. And my companions that were, says, oh, where you been all day? Oh, I said, I was behind you. And they said, are you all right? And I said, yes, I'm all right. If you're a good traveler, you keep your mouth shut, you know. And you don't ask for pity. Most of you are not good travelers, you know. I hate to travel with you. But a good traveler doesn't grumble, doesn't growl, don't matter how hard they get and go. He just keeps on going, you see. He's got a destiny and he goes. But I wrote that in my 5-year diary, that I was healed of this blood situation. And closed my diary. Went on through China for a year, and back through Europe and into America. And I went down to a city called Mobile, Alabama, and preached one night while I was home. I was only home just 2 or 3 months before we went on into South America. And a man and his wife in the church asked the pastor, says, can Brother Sumrall stay with us tonight? And he says, well, we usually keep the preacher. And they said, no, we want to keep him. They didn't even tell him why. And they were both high school teachers. So I got over to their beautiful home. And it was a little chilly. And they had a little fire there. And they didn't go in the kitchen. They brought the food in on these little trays, you know, and set it by you. And they brought in delicious peaches with the syrup on them, you know. And ice cream in the middle of that. And some cake on the side. And it was just pleasing, you know. And suddenly the lady said, do you keep a diary? I said, uh-oh, this is not peaches. This is something else. I said, why? She says, I want you to read me a page. I said, no. She says, you would read me one page. No. She says, I'll give you the date and to see if anything happened on that day. I wrote it down. I left the dessert, and I went into my bedroom that they had given me, and I got out my diary. I said, yeah, I'll read that page for you. And so I began to read it. Got up in the morning, bleeding to death. So weak, I couldn't hardly go. Rode the animal for a couple of hours, fell off, went unconscious, and stayed unconscious till almost noon. Woke up healed. Healed. Went on my way and found my companions miraculously. Looked up and they were both crying. And I said, wait, I didn't die. Oh, they said, that's not what we're crying about. She said, shall I read my diary? Says, when it was morning there, it was night here. And she read, God spoke to me about 8 o'clock and said, Lester Sumrall is dying. And I went into my bedroom, and as if I had gotten a hold of 2 posts, I began to hold them and said, God, he cannot die. I claim his life. Save Lester Sumrall. Save Lester Sumrall. He cannot die. He cannot die. And she got to the bottom of the page. At 11:30, God spoke and said, he lives. Yeah. Yeah. Now, that's what we mean by the intercession of the Holy Spirit. You see, that's what we mean. That's what the Holy Spirit, there's no telling how many lives here have been saved through the intercession of the Holy Spirit through a person. Through a person. My mother may have saved my life many times through intercession, you see. Through intercession of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is an intercessor for the body. For the body. For the body. And so here on opposite sides of the world, that when it was 8 o'clock in the morning, it was 8 o'clock at night. And the Holy Spirit said, he's dying. And she went into the intercession of the Holy Spirit. Not natural spirit or anything. She went into the intercession of the Holy Spirit. And at 11 o'clock or 11:30, God spoke and said, he lives. I would look at my diary and look at hers, and I cried. I said, dear me, says I. I just knew I got healed. I didn't know that someone interceded through the Holy Ghost for my healing and my deliverance. That simply means if the Holy Spirit ever moves upon you to intercede, don't miss it. Don't miss it. There's no telling what would happen if all of God's people stopped interceding through the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit, did you know I seldom ever go to a place but what someone tells me? On a certain day, I felt I had to pray for you, and I prayed for you until I felt good. It just happens. It might have been a problem that I didn't see, and they removed it before I got to it. Intercession's a wonderful thing. But it's always for another. You can pray for yourself, but you intercede for others, because that's the meaning of the word. And the Holy Spirit, one of his abilities, one of his ministries in the church, is to take one of the body of Christ and use them through intercession for another body, another person in the body of Christ. Now, intercession is an action of the Spirit. It is not a solical action with the mind, the emotions, or the will. It could be contradictory to those. The mind might say, I'm sleepy, and the emotions might say, I'm tired. The will might say, let's go to bed. So we're not talking about a solical situation of your soul, nor a physical situation of your body. But we're talking about a supernatural function and operation of the Holy Ghost in the body today, and it could be one of the greatest ministers of the Holy Ghost is this of intercession for the body. And maybe it's one of those things that we don't preach about enough, that God should lay it upon our hearts to reach out in intercession through the Holy Ghost. I mean, not on our own and not by our own minds, but through the Holy Spirit, that he intercedes to the Father through one of the vessels in the body. Now, number two, Moses understood intercession by his spirit. Let's look at it. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 31, and Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And he says, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. Could you pray and say, God, you forgive her, or you just take my name out of your book? I don't want to go to your heaven if you can't forgive her. That's intercession of the deepest degree that you can go to. That's like Paul, when he interceded for this nation and said, I would that I could give my life for this people. He said, that's intercession. I would give my life. The problem with so many prayers today, that there's no responsibility behind them. There's no reliability behind them. And there's no big price being paid, you see. And when you do, there's weakness there. There's weakness there. Now, and another means of intercession, my sister and I, that's here with us, we were preaching in a city, I think it was Charleston, Arkansas. She was playing the guitar and singing, and I was preaching. And the first 10 nights were miserable. Nobody got saved. Not many people came. And suddenly, the thing broke. You couldn't tell why, you know. It just broke. People began to get saved. The big old church building that hadn't been full in years, I said, got full. We had to go up and borrow the Baptist church. It got full. We had to go out in the open air. It got full. They'd come at 3 and 4 o'clock in the afternoon, wagons loaded with people to be in the service. And you know, that makes a preacher feel good. On the 10th night when it broke, 10 people got saved, and they were the first ones that got saved. We were slaving and fighting and slugging away with no results. Well, after 3 or 4 weeks there, it got real easy to preach. Had real easy to get people saved. Well, that gives a preacher time to think of himself, you know. I'm quite an evangelist, if you don't know it. Hundreds of people are finding Jesus here. Ha-ha. The wealthiest man in town that owns all these stores down here, he's gotten saved. Going to baptize him. Felt pretty good about it. And a little woman, God always uses the little ones, looks like. A little woman came up to me and said, do you know why we're having such a great revival? And I almost told her. Because I came to town. She said, no. For the first 10 days that you were in town, I didn't come to church. And I didn't go anywhere else. I stayed in my closet and interceded for you. For me. And said, on the 10th day that you were here, the Lord said, get out of your closet. He said, I want you to see what I'm going to do. And said, I was sitting there when the people came down to get saved. And I've been there every night since to see what God had done. That's intercession. Now, when you get to heaven, you might see one of these little women on the front row. And you might see your favorite evangelist on the back row. Because all that he accomplished, she might have been the one that paid the price. That did the interceding. It's so important to intercede through the Holy Ghost. She interceded through the Spirit. And she won, you see. And God told her to come out for the celebration. God won't keep you in the closet any longer than he has to. Intercession is an action of the Spirit. Moses knew intercession in his spirit. He said, blot my name out if you can't forgive these people. So God had to forgive them. God seeks for intercessors. Isaiah 59:16. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. That's something. There was no intercessor. God needs intercessors. Christ has always been involved in intercession. In Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things, beloved, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Christ is an intercessor. In Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was on the cross. For the people who murdered him, he still interceded for them. In Luke 21, 31, and the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Jesus interceded for Peter, interceded for him. Christ now intercedes for us. Romans 8, 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ is the great intercessor. Hebrews 7, 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So Christ is a great intercessor. We want to be like Jesus and be intercessors. Romans 15, 30, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive not with me in your prayers to God for me, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God. He is asking the brethren to join him in intercession. He requested intercession. And you and I should encourage others to be intercessors. Romans 8 and 20 says, likewise the Spirit, he helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And so the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. That's a further beautiful picture of his personality.